Isn't that a nice little song? Family on board, how y'all doing? Man, I'm excited to be starting this new series on family. We're going to talk about marriage and parenting and men and women and children and all kinds of really cool stuff. And we just wanted to start today. And what I thought about was saying, all right, what can we do to like get on board? Like what kind of on board do we want to get? And I thought, man, I know what I'll do. I'll bring my bass boat this morning. Put it on stage. Then I remembered, I don't have a bass boat. I don't even fish. But man, what a good way to start. And I thought, all right, we're talking to men. We're talking about men on board today. We're going to kind of jump into the book of Proverbs. That's going to be the basis for our entire series as we go through scripture together, the book of Proverbs. And I thought, wait a second, I got an idea too. You know what? This really helps me out. You know, when we're jumping into a book as deep and as beautiful and amazing as the book of Proverbs in your Bible, how do we attack that? How do we dive in? How do we pull things out? And I thought, I know what we can do. We can go fishing. We got any fishing? We got any fishermen in here today? Huh? Anybody like to fish? Okay, look, I am not a fisherman, all right? I have told you that before. I may have even told you this story before. Last year, I had an opportunity to go fishing with my small group, my men's group. It worked out pretty good for us. It was a lot of fun. I kind of got some pictures to prove it, all right? So this is a tackle bag. I thought they were called boxes, but apparently there's tackle bags, all right? It's a fishing pole, which doesn't have any line on it because they wouldn't give me one with a hook. Not in public. It could be pretty scary. Man, this was an awesome trip we took. It was a lot of fun. The one thing about fishing is, and I know it's not just men, but it's women too, that's really cool to do when we go fishing is just the thrill of going out and just kind of hanging out and having nothing else to do but to kind of just be there and to know that it could happen, like at any minute. A fish could bite on your hook, and then all of a sudden there's a fight. And then there's a catch, because catching's a whole lot better than fishing. And there's a catch, and then once you get them in a boat, and then later you got to clean them, and then you get to cook them up, and then guess what? Yeah, man, who doesn't like to eat fish? I mean, it's amazing. And there's something about that. It's pretty cool. So I thought, all right, why am I talking about fishing? Why the, you know, okay, I'm going to get on board. All right, I'm on my kayak. You know, we're all on board here this morning. What's this got to do with Proverbs? Well, in a book like Proverbs, where there's so much good stuff, and for a series like this on family, when we talk about parenting and marriage and men and women and children and all that kind of stuff, instead of trying to grab the whole thing and teach the whole thing, I think it's wise for us just to kind of grab a fishing pole and throw it into the deep water of Proverbs and just pull out the keepers, just pull out the good ones, pull out the favorites, pull out stuff that we can really chew on and enjoy and, you know, cook in our lives. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to throw a line in the water. We're going to pull out some of the Proverbs. Even today, we talk about men on board. Talk about our men. I got to grab a net. Now, newsflash, this is not a real fishing net, all right? But I understand the concept. Men on board. We're going to throw a net into the book of Proverbs. That's pretty lame, I know. A real fisherman could show you how to do this. And just pull out the Proverbs. And there are plenty of them, the Proverbs that will help us as men be the people that God wants to. Now, Proverbs is pretty awesome. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look at the book of Proverbs. Go ahead and pull it open. There's some Bibles in front of you. There's sermon notes in your bulletin. And to kind of launch this whole series, we've got to go there. I put this somewhere safe so I don't hurt myself. All right. The book of Proverbs, you guys there? You guys there? Okay, Proverbs was written mostly by a man named Solomon, all right? Solomon was a king in the Old Testament, so you can find it in about the middle of your Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. And Solomon was, he asked for wisdom from God in 1 Kings chapter 3, and as a result, God says yes, he answers his prayer, and Solomon becomes known as the wisest man of his time, perhaps of all time. And we read a lot of his words in the Old Testament. We call some of them the wisdom literature. And the book of Proverbs is so deep and is so full of amazing lessons for family in this series that as we throw a line in, we throw a net in, we pull them out, we're going to see that, man, there is just some rich, great, awesome things that we can learn from for younger men, for older men, for women, for children, for all of us here today. Proverbs is God's word, and I have to say this, and then we're going to kind of see an overview of it, but Proverbs is full of wise principles and probabilities, okay? These are general truths. These are things that we tend to see happen in life and could say, yeah, this is wisdom, okay? It's not full of prophecies and promises that are guaranteed to always happen, and it gives us the purpose of the book in the very first verse. Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 1, 1 through 6. Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. That's who Solomon was, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom, this is what it's for, gaining wisdom, gaining instruction, understanding words of insight, receiving instructions on how to live godly lives. And you can kind of read the words there in your Bibles. Behavior, things that we want to do what's right, to do what's just, to do what's fair, for young, for old, for the wise, for the foolish. We can all gain something from Proverbs. Now, to give you kind of an overview of the book, I wanted to take about 5 minutes and show you a video that'll kind of give you a kind of an overview of the book of Proverbs. So if you're there, watch the videos, and then we're going to jump right in to talk about men on board. Here it is.
There are three books in the Bible that have come to be called the wisdom literature: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job.
And all of these books are addressing the same set of questions. What kind of world are we living in? And what does it look like to live well in this world?
So, how to be good at life?
Yeah. So each of these books tackles these questions from a unique perspective, and it's important to understand all of them to get a fully biblical perspective on the good life. So as a thought experiment, you could actually imagine each of these books as a person. So Proverbs would be like this brilliant young teacher, and Ecclesiastes the sharp middle-aged critic, and Job would be this weathered old man who's seen a lot in his day.
We're going to start by meeting the book of Proverbs, the brilliant young teacher. And she's not just smart, she's smart about everything: work, relationships, sex, spirituality. She has incredible insights, things you wouldn't see on your own.
Yeah, she would be the perfect friend to have around when you need really specific advice.
So what makes her so smart?
Well, Proverbs can see things that most people don't see. She believes that there's an invisible creative force in the universe that can guide people in how they should live. And you can't see it, just like you can't see gravity, but it affects everything that we do.
So what's this force?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called chokhmah. And it usually gets translated into English as wisdom. It's an attribute of God that God used to create the world. And chokhmah has been woven into the fabric of things and how they work. So wherever people are making good or just or wise decisions, they're tapping into chokhmah.
And whenever someone's making a bad decision, they're working against chokhmah.
Right, or as it says in Proverbs chapter 1, the waywardness of fools will destroy them, but the one who listens to wisdom lives in security.
So it's like a moral law of the universe.
Yeah, it's a cause-effect pattern, and no one can escape it. And Proverbs personifies all of this as a woman.
Yeah, Lady Wisdom.
Right, and she roams around the earth, calling out, making herself available to anyone who's willing to listen to her and to learn. Which leads to the second thing Proverbs believes, that anyone can access and interact with wisdom and use it to make a beautiful life for yourself or for others.
You can create with it like a designer.
Yes, in fact, chokhmah in Hebrew isn't simply intellectual knowledge. The word is also used to describe a skilled artisan who excels at their craft, like woodworking or stonemasonry. So you show you possess chokhmah when you put it to work and develop the skill of making a good life.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's do this. Let's go find some wisdom.
But before you do, Proverbs has one more really important thing to consider. Chokhmah isn't some impersonal force. It's an attribute of God himself. And so in Hebrew thought, your journey to becoming wise has to begin with what Proverbs calls the fear of the Lord. It's this healthy respect for God's definition of good and evil. And true wisdom means learning those boundary lines and not crossing them.
Now, all those ideas you just unpacked are in chapters 1 through 9 in Proverbs. But when I think of the book of Proverbs, I think of the collection of sayings, the Proverbs themselves. Tell me about those.
Yeah, those are what you find in chapters 10 on to the end of the book. It's a collection of hundreds and hundreds of proverbs about any and all aspects of life. And chokhmah gets applied to them, resulting in this wise guidance to help you find a path towards success and no matter what you do.
If I design my life with these sayings, life is going to be good.
Yeah, or as Proverbs puts it, it'll give health to your bones, prosperity, a long, rich life.
Which is a really big claim.
But you can see how it's often the case. Wise people, they tend to do better. Things usually work out well for them in life. And so that is the promise and the wisdom of the book of Proverbs.
The book of Proverbs is really beautiful. But if we take a step back, some people would argue it's a little too simplistic. Because sometimes horrible things happen to really wise people, and sometimes foolish people get rewarded. It doesn't always work the way we think it should work.
That's right, which is why we need to go and listen to our next wise friend, Ecclesiastes the Critic, because he's wrestled with that very problem, and he's going to push us further in our journey to find the good life.
How the Bible just shows us how that we can live our lives. And if you look in the book of Proverbs and you kind of read through it, you'll see some just incredible ways. And then you go into the rest of the wisdom literature, as it says. And so what I encourage you to do over the next few weeks as we get into this series is read the book of Proverbs. Sound easy? All right? Read the book of Proverbs with us. Grab a reading plan, maybe on YouVersion or on your Bible app, and journey through the book of Proverbs together. Like on Sundays, we're only going to be able to grab certain things, but you can read it every single day. In fact, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So if you read one book a day, you'll finish by the end of the month, and you can start over again if you'd like. There's some resources and things there in your notes that you can look at. The Bible Project is a great one. There's some other things too, but study this. Read this with us as we go through the book of Proverbs. Now today is about men on board. Now, I can't ask all of you to come up here and join me on my kayak up here, but you can climb on board as we fish through the book of Proverbs together for God's wisdom, just for us, guys. Now, ladies, I just got to say a word to you real quick. This is important for everyone in the room, especially you as well, for two reasons. First of all, we as men, we need your support and your respect and your encouragement and your prayers as we study and live out the Word of God together. We are all equally valued by God, every single one of us, equally valued by God. But we do have distinct, not unequal, but distinct roles in Scripture to fulfill, especially men. And two, especially for single ladies today, God has a standard for you. As we go through the Scriptures, as we read through the Proverbs, as you listen to God's Word, take notes and don't settle for anything less. Dads, think about your daughters. Wives, think about your kids. Whether you're married, and if you are married, think about your husbands. This is how we should pray for each other. Pray for them, encourage them, and don't settle for less. And plus, next week is Women on Board. So come on back for ladies next week. So, manhood. What does it mean to be a man on board? What's this whole idea of manhood all about? Well, like most men, maybe like you, I grew up thinking that manhood was about things like fishing or body hair. I'm still waiting to become a man in that area, you can tell. Sports. Man, to excel at sports or to be a sports fan. Or maybe it was getting the girls or being cool or cars or, you know, or certain clothes you wear, a certain way you carry yourself. You know, it's all about this kind of image that men might have. Is that true biblical manhood? Is that manhood at all? Let me ask you something, and I ask this question a lot. How did you know you became a man, guys? If you are, maybe you're still working on it, but how do you know when you become a man? Let me ask you that question. How do you know? In fact, right now, just turn to you. If there's a man next to you, in front of you, around you, just ask him, all right? How did you know you became a man? How did you know when you became a man? You can ask him. This ought to be really interesting. Man, there's guys ducking. I don't know. Still working on it. Kids, women, men, all alike. What traits do you automatically think of when defining manhood? What pop into your mind? What kind of traits are there? Now, as I ask that question, and you know, I work with high school kids. I've got men who are older than me that are mentors, and you know, and I ask men of all ages, and I ask them, you know, and one word continuously pops up, and it's the word responsibility. It's when I gained responsibility. It's when I went to school and had to take care of myself, or when I got my first apartment, or when I got married or had kids. There's responsibility tied to manhood, and I would say that manhood is wisely taking responsibility in life. Wisely taking responsibility in life. When you start doing that, you start developing and finding out that you're a man. Now, biblical manhood, again, Proverbs is good for everybody, whether you're a believer or not, but man, biblical manhood is when men use godly wisdom to step up and handle responsibility in life. We use godly wisdom to step up and handle responsibility in life. Now, it shows itself in all kinds of ways, and the way I think it is seen the most is when we're responsible, wisely responsible for the gifts that life gives us. as a believer, God gives us. I know that he does this. So how do we respond to what life gives us? Men wisely take responsibility with the gifts that we receive. This means that we respect what God has given us. We don't misuse them. We don't abuse them or neglect them. We take responsibility. Our bodies, ourselves, it's a gift. We take care of those things with responsibility. We're wise. Women are a gift. Praise God for you. We don't neglect them. We don't abuse them. We don't misuse them, physically or emotionally or verbally. Men know this and take responsibility for this. Finances are a gift. Family, our kids, gifts. Our time is a gift. Even suffering, our experiences in life, gifts. Wisely take responsibility. Salvation through Jesus Christ. What do you do with that? Church, the Word of God. And the list goes on and on. The Bible teaches us that these are gifts from God. What these gifts are and how to wisely take responsibility for them. And that is biblical manhood. And I got to tell you this morning, the Bible that you read is truly a man's book. I mean, this is a book. I mean, you read this. It's a book for man's men. I mean, women, yes, kids, yes, everybody, everybody that's ever lived the Bible. But men, I mean, this book is amazing. I hope you know this. I hope that you know from front to back, man, from beginning to end, from Adam in the Garden of Eden to Jesus, the warrior king who comes in the book of Revelation. All through the pages of Scripture, we see good and we see bad examples of manhood. We see stories of kings and prophets and judges and warriors, heroes and villains and spies and leaders, servants, disciples, yes, fishermen. All through the pages of Scripture, and the King of Kings, the story of the ultimate man himself, Jesus Christ. One of those men, the Apostle Paul, is somebody that we've been talking about over the last few weeks here. And he writes one of my favorite verses when it comes to biblical manhood. It's in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Paul says this, "Be on the alert. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And let all you do be done in love." Acting like men means taking responsibility, wisely taking responsibility in life. And God has a lot to say about that in the book of Proverbs. And that's what we're going to look at. It's loaded with manly wisdom. As you fish through this, you're going to see dozens of tweetable, you know, kind of memorable, usable advice for men on board. Now today, like I said, I just want to learn how to fish. We just want to learn how to fish together. We don't have time to, you know, to catch them and cook and eat and enjoy every proverb and every principle there. But we do have time to quickly go through and see where to fish and what is there and kind of whet our appetites. So we can't wait to get on the water, you know, kind of later on in the day or later on in the week. And I want to encourage you as you do to bring a notebook, bring your tackle box, be ready because it's just got a lot of great stuff there. Take your time. That's why we go fishing anyway, right? Just kind of relax and take your time. Enjoy the thrill of the search and the catch and the meal that you're going to find there. And God promises it'll happen. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says this, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." Chapter 8, verse 1. "Does not wisdom call? Understanding is lifting up her voice." Wisdom's calling. "And to you, O men, I call my voice to the sons of men." Men, wisdom is calling for us if we listen. Chapter 20. "A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water. But a man of understanding draws it out." Deep water. Draw it out. Men, get on board. Let's go deep. Let's go deep in the water and draw out what God has for us to understand and to live and rise up together as men on board, together for God. Young and old, married, single, and act like men. Wisely take responsibility in life, in our families, as husbands, this church, our community. Man, they're counting on us. So let's face it, and I just want to kind of make this perfectly well known. Guys, we know this is true, right? We're amazing, right? Guys, are we not incredible? I mean, God, let's hear for the men here. I mean, I know you guys are amazing. Now you're thinking, hold on a second. What are you talking about? Look, you are sitting next to a man. You're sitting next to something incredible. Think about all the amazing things you've done in life, all right? Think about it. Think about all the amazing things that men have done through history. But, you know, here's the flip side. We're a mess, too. I mean, we're just like, we get up in the morning, I mean, we don't know if we're going to be amazing or we don't know if we're going to mess everything up, you know? And all through history, we see this too. I mean, we're a mess. That's exactly why we need wisdom. That's exactly why we need God's word. We know this is true. Proverbs makes it clear that the most important thing we need to act like men and wisely take responsibility in life are things like this: faith in God. We're going to talk about that. Faith in God, common sense, rising up, stepping up to the challenge with our heart, our mind, and our body. And first things first, the most important thing is this: a man and his God. Y'all, God is the most important thing. Proverbs makes that perfectly clear. Chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 14, the fear of the Lord, or faith. Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may avoid the snares of death. Manly wisdom, life itself, come from fear of the Lord. And I'm not talking about like this Halloween fear, you know, like, boo, ah, there's God, you know, like, oh, run away, don't get me, zap me, I can't go to church because I'm going to get struck by. No, not that kind of fear. The fear the Bible talks about, especially here, it's an awe, it's a reverence. It's what we just sang to. It's a sing, it's a worship. It's like the highest respect that we are humanly possible of giving to God. That's the kind of fear. Hallowed be your name, a holy God who created all that we are and all that we see, and that any moment can end all that we are and all that we see. He is God, and we are not. Fear the Lord. And not in some, you know, pansy religious, like I got to go to church and I got to read my Bible. No, a strong, loving relationship with a heavenly Father who loved you first. A father who wants to keep you from foolishness, who keep you from death. He is our source of life and wisdom. God and his word deserve our greatest respect. Fear the Lord. Chapter 16, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs his motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your works to the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 20, he who gives attention to the word, will find good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Men of faith. And I praise God, man, every single day. I look around this room. I get to rub shoulders every day at the office here. I get to come to worship with men of God who fear the Lord. Look around this place. Man, whether it's the red shirts or the ushers, whether it's the man sitting next to you, husbands, sons, grandfathers. Man, you are men of God who fear the Lord, and we are part of a church. Man, you see them on stage. The Clinches did a great job. I mean, these are guys who fear the Lord, and you are here today. Praise God for that. CCW, man, I love you, and I respect you, and I understand that we are all in this together. Isn't this an amazing place where men fear the Lord together, worship together, aren't afraid to pray, aren't afraid to be an example? I could go on and on and on. Chapter 16, I gotta throw this out there because we're talking about faith and fearing God. Chapter 16, verse 31. You ready for this? Gray hair is a crown of splendor. Come on, let's hear. Yeah. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. So leave me alone. It's attained in the way of righteousness. Righteousness. God says it. I believe it. That settles it. All right. Chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, but gray hair, splendor of the old. That's Hokmah right there. That's some wisdom. Fear the Lord, men of God. Proverbs makes it clear this is the most important thing that we can do to act like men and wisely take responsibility in life. It also has a lot, Proverbs also has a lot of just plain old common sense. We fear the Lord and we use common sense. Now, as you look at this and we kind of think about this, I know what you're going to say as soon as the slide pops up there. I spelled it wrong, All right? I'm just seeing if you're there, all right? Just seeing if you're paying attention. I see some wisdom here. Are you catching it? Are you tracking a little bit? All right. Common sense, man sense. So could I just ask this? Now, I watch the news. I kind of flip on TV sometimes. Things come across my computer, you know, about the world we're living in, all kinds of stuff. Are we losing our minds? I mean, is the world kind of like, oh, what is going on out here? Are we seriously losing our brains? I mean, seriously, what is going on? Men who are motivated by their hearts for God, men of faith who fear God to be faithful to the Lord for God's sake, can we begin and continue to use our minds, to use our brains, to use our heads, please, to be faithful, to fear the Lord? And I look around, I see, man, we're so open-minded that our brains are falling out. It's like, what is going on around here? Even in church, men of God, we're losing our minds. Statistics are staggering. How we use and misuse and neglect our mouths, the way we talk, social media, our bodies, the time we spend, our women, the kids, work, God himself. And Proverbs speaks loud and clear to make common sense common. This is stuff we just got to get to our heads, to be men who are wise, take responsibility, to be faithful men who say what they do and do what they say, faithful, self-controlled, things like righteousness. And all that means is doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. Common sense, right? I mean, I think it's common sense. I grew up in a house where you open a door for a girl, or you know, or you don't lie to people because that's wrong. You know, I mean, it's right to tell the truth. So we do things right. You take something that's not yours, that's wrong. So to not take something that's not yours is what? It's right. It's righteous. I mean, it's common sense, I think. But don't we all wonder? To be honest, to tell the truth, to be kind. To be kind? Is that common sense? Is it that hard? To be nice? Yeah, really, you're going to get out of your car and shoot me because I'm driving too slow? I mean, does that make any sense? No, it doesn't make any sense. Common sense says it's common sense, proverb. Look, I love verse 20, or chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee, though no one pursues. I mean, like, running away from, like, what are we so, this makes no sense to run away from something that's not even chasing you. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. It's the life we live. So as we go through Proverbs, we go fishing in Proverbs just to kind of look for some common sense. We kind of see like these four different areas. They're kind of big areas. There's all kinds of stuff in here. But I kind of picked out these four W warnings. W for wisdom. You might recognize them. All right. The words are work. The words are words. I hate saying that twice. Words, work, wine, and women. Words, work, wine, and women. Common sense. I know you're thinking right now, we are going to be here all day. Not really. Words, common sense. Proverbs 17:27. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Common sense. Chapter 14:24. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Watch what you say, and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Think before you talk. Chapter 14:16, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. Chapter 29, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Even on Facebook. I wrote that right there. Words, common sense. What about work? Proverbs has a lot to say about this person called a sluggard, a lazy sluggard, when it comes to work. It's loaded with scriptures. I love chapter 6, verse 6. It says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? Lazy bum. I mean, how long are you going to lay there? Get up from your sleep. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, or play video games or whatever you're doing with your hands. Poverty is going to come on you like a thief. Poverty, it's just going to sneak up on you, and all of a sudden you're going to wake up with nothing. Poverty, sneak up on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Common sense, it didn't come out of nowhere. Get a job. That's where money comes from. You know, it's not going to just sneak up on you like, oh, man, where'd everything go? No, poverty's common sense. On the other hand, it also warns us about greed and wearing yourself out to get rich in chapter 23. Don't go overboard and like work yourself to get rich and think that that's all what it's all about. No, but work, words, wine. What about wine? What about too much food, too much drink? Listen, my son, and be wise. Set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine. Glad it didn't say beer there, all right? No. That's not the point. The point is don't drink too much. Circle the word too much, all right? Don't drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. Glad it doesn't say cookies there, all right? No, too much. Because drunkards and gluttons, common sense. Drunkards and gluttons become poor. Drowsiness clothes them in rags. That's what happens when you kill your brain cells. You wake up drowsy and poor. You run out of money. And common sense, if you look around, there's men in this room that can tell you. You wake up one day and wonder where it all went. Common sense would have showed you that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It didn't just disappear. Be careful. Food and drink. And what about women? Talk about words and work and wine and women. We're just going to skip this, all right? Just going to go. No, we're not going to skip this. Look, what does Proverbs talk about? Specifically, adultery, pornography. How do we treat the women in the world around us? Chapter 2, wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman and her seductive words. Chapter 29, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. You're thinking, I'd never sleep with another man's wife. I would never have sex with somebody that I'm not married to. If she's not your wife, she's somebody else's wife. Maybe not today, but sooner or later in life. If you've been watching the news lately, you've been watching the news lately. What you do in high school and college matter, guys. If she's not your wife, leave her alone. Don't even look at her like you would look at your wife. Adultery, pornography. Say, I don't mess with prostitutes. You know, are you serious? I looked up the statistics the other day. $100 billion spent on pornography in our world today. Somebody's spending some money somewhere. Somebody's making money. Every time we click on a computer, every time you open something you shouldn't be looking at, somebody's getting paid, and somebody's being prostituted for it. Common sense, guys. Do not involve yourself in that. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, the book of Proverbs. Common sense when it comes to women, when it comes to work, wine, words. If we fear God, man, we want to do the right thing. We want to be faithful to Him. We want to so bad. If we want to, use our heads, use our brains, think. Before we do, act like men who wisely take responsibility for what we look at, what we think about. And if we do that, our bodies will follow. Our bodies will respond. And that's where the challenge comes in. These challenges. This is challenging. We know it's challenging. Manhood is a skill. It's something we got to practice. It's something we got to get good at. Chapter 22, 29. Do you see someone skilled in their work? Work. You see someone skilled at it? It's because they worked at it. And it says they will serve before kings. Serve before kings. Yes, something we ought to want to do. Step up to the challenge. And it may be in the area of your words or your work or wine or women. It might be there. It might be in anger management. It might be being a good employee or being a good boss or finding a job at all. It might be being faithful in your marriage or overcoming an addiction of any kind. We all have issues. All of us have challenges. The question I have to ask you is, are you willing to face the challenge like men? Your heart, faith, fear the Lord with your minds, common sense? Will you engage your mind in the challenge? And will you actually do, would you actually do what the challenge requires you to do? Because this is what separates the men from the boys. See, we can want it all day long in our heart. We can think about it. Proverbs tells us that we can do what God gives us to do and face our challenges. Confess those challenges. Confess them. Face them. Admit them. Stop concealing them, denying them, rationalizing them. Chapter 28, 13 and 14. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but one who confesses and renounces those sins finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, and whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. So whatever the challenge is, take the challenge. Take it to God with trembling, even fear. Repent. Stop it. Replace it with other things, good things. Do not harden your heart. Don't pretend God's word doesn't say it, or it's going to get better tomorrow, or it's okay. Your life depends on you facing the challenge. And we do this together. Find help. Help is out there. I love Proverbs 11:14. It says, where there is no guidance, people fall. But there is guidance. In fact, in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Find some counselors because there's victory there. Chapter 20, verse 18, plans are established in seeking advice. So if you wage war, and this is war, if you wage war, obtain guidance. Get guidance. Get help. It's here. Join a small group. Get involved with other guys. Lock arms. We need to join together because this is war and there is victory in that war if we do it together and if we trust God with our faith, with our fear of him, if we engage our minds together and lock arms together and do what we're called to do, whether it's in our words or our work or our wine with women, whatever, small groups here at CCW, they exist. Exist so that we will have godly wisdom. Exist so we can follow Jesus together so that we can deal with these challenges like men. To do what we physically have to do, because we're not strong enough to do it on our own. So join a group, join a men's small group. Get involved. There are godly leaders there. There are men there who want to help. There's guidance to be found. There's care groups here. There's men, whether the issue you're facing, Ann Topping is here 5 days a week offering counseling. Cornerstone is here. There are men here who are willing to reach out and help. And if needed, get professional guidance. There's people around town that aren't associated with CCW. Go to Tampa. Find the help you need. Because if you want victory, you got to do what you got to do. You can want it all day long. Think about it all day long. But men of God, men who are men, take that challenge. Make it happen. Do what needs to be done. Do it. I got a little system in place in my own mind that helps me out. And I've been sharing it with you all day long. It's all through Proverbs. Faith in God. Common sense. Common sense. And then step up and take the challenge. Your heart, your faith in God comes from your heart for God. You love him. He loves you. Do what you do in a response of worship. Want it. Want it. Want it. Common sense with your mind. Think it. You want it. You think it. Get a book. Read a book. Find help. Get the tools you need in your tackle box to take care of the problem. Think it. Want it. Think it. And then do it. Step up to the challenge. Your heart, want it. Your mind, man. And then your body will follow. Your body will follow. Eventually. If you keep, you want it bad enough and you think about it enough and then you determine that you're going to step up to the challenge. You want it, you think it, you will do it. Tell your body who's boss. Tell your body who's boss. That's not in the book of Proverbs. That's my little proverb. I got to tell myself that 10 times a day. Tell your body who's boss because wisdom brings results. And results are blessings. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who finds favor with God. Isn't that what we want? A good man obtains favor from the Lord. Chapter 12 says, with the help of good friends. Most of us know this verse, 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Favor of God, help of good friends, and then get back up. I love chapter 24, verse 16. It says, a righteous man falls down 7 times. But guess what? He rises back up again. He rises back up again. He rises back up again and again and again and again and again. A righteous man falls down 7 times, but he rises again. The wicked are brought down and stay down. Get back up. And as we get back up, we will have victory. Victory in the Lord. Chapter 21, verse 30. There's no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against the Lord. Verse 31. But the horse is prepared for the day of battle, and victory belongs to the Lord. Glory to him. God will give you victory. He will give us victory together, and victory belongs to the Lord. And we can't end this message any other way today but with the Lord, with Jesus Christ, the ultimate man, wisdom personified, Jesus, God in the flesh. He is our example. He is the Lord, the King of our lives. Jesus, man, he had a heart for his Father. His heart was there. His heart for his Father, God, his mind was devoted. You talk about common sense. Jesus had perfect sense. His body then followed every day without sin, ultimately all the way to the cross for your sins and mine. And along the way, we see a man's man in Jesus Christ. I don't know what you've learned about Jesus growing up, but Jesus, the Jesus I read about in my Bible, was a man's man. From his childhood, we read in the Bible, he grew in wisdom. Chokmah, he grew in wisdom and in stature. And I think Jesus was a beast of a man. I don't think he was just an ordinary guy. Jesus was he was a carpenter. He worked outside with his hands. He walked everywhere in 100-degree Middle East heat in sandals. He can go to the store and, and get him some Under Armour. Like, no, man, think about that for just a minute. What do you want to go out and water our lawn? Jesus walked everywhere. He fished with his friends. He cooked. He cried, he loved, he led, he made disciples. And the Bible says his wisdom is even greater than the wisdom of Solomon's wisdom. And he changed the world with his words. He had wine, work, women, all these things were a part of Jesus' life. And he handled them with wisdom, honoring God in all of his ways. And his body endured a Roman centurion's beating. Public shame and ridicule, flesh off his bones kind of beating. He was crucified on a Roman cross. Men, who can endure that kind of thing? He died on a cross for us. The Bible says that he came back from the grave and he lives today as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the right hand of God. And true manhood is seen in him. And true manhood is seen and done by living in him. The best thing we can do is turn our lives once and for all and forever over to Jesus. Give your life. Be baptized into Christ. To him. Live for him. Wisely take responsibility for living the ways of Jesus. To act like men means to live and act like Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something. I hope it's not too awkward today, but I just want to do it before we leave. I'm going to ask you to stand. Everyone, just go ahead and stand with me. And men, I know it's kind of awkward to kind of be prayed for, but we're going to do that right now. Maybe you're standing next to one, in front of one, behind one, whatever. Guys, you know who you are, men, young and old. If you're near one, understand if you don't be touched, but if you don't mind, let's just go ahead and reach out and just kind of grab one by the shoulder, grab each other by the shoulder, kind of do that. Maybe reach out, maybe just pray for them. Guys, and I want to pray for every man here. I want to bow our heads, close our eyes, I want to think, I want to pray, I want to meditate, I want to fear the Lord. With our minds, our common sense, and knowing that we want to step up. Be the men call us to be, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would act like men, every one of us in this room today, starting with me. God, please. I pray that we would wisely take responsibility for our lives. I pray that we would live as men who truly fear you and love you and have faith. I pray that we would be men with common sense. Use our minds from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, inside out, starting with our minds for your glory. And I would pray that we would face the challenges that we have in our lives head on, trusting you and doing what we really want to do, God. We really do. We really do. So God, I pray by the power of your Spirit in this place today, inside of us, that you would help us, that you would give us wisdom, please. We pray that prayer of Solomon, please, God, the prayer of James, that you would give us wisdom. We pray that we would be men like Jesus. Thank you for his life, his death, his resurrection. We know that we have victory in Christ. So God, I pray that you would bless every single man in this place today for your glory, as we follow your son together. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Guys, before we leave, if that's your prayer, you get a man card. All right? Look, on your way out the door today, I'm serious. If this is your prayer, you can grab one of these. It might be a little cheesy, but on the back, there's some place you can write down, you know, what's your prayer? What do you want to do? Write down some stuff. Put it in your tackle box. On the screen, there's some ideas for you in your sermon notes. Check it out. Go to the website. Get plugged into a small group. And, one other thing before you go. There's a video on Wednesday nights, starting in just a couple weeks. Family ID. This is a place that men, families, we can get on board and learn about you. Watch this video and then have a great, great week in the Lord.